And now another edition of Plugged Into Long Island, a service of Cox Media Group Long Island. Stay tuned for our first segment after this.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, and, of course, companionship. Now, let's see him in action.
Look how he makes eye contact with his person.
That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive, and now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance so common with this group.
But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Free mortgage help is available to homeowners in your area. The National Foundation for Credit Counseling and the Making Home Affordable Program are partnering together to help consumers who are struggling with their mortgage payments. NFCC HUD-approved housing counselors will help you prepare your application for mortgage assistance and submit it to your mortgage company. To expedite the application process, please bring your monthly mortgage statement, your two most recent pay stubs, and your last two bank statements. For more information, please visit debtadvice.org/MHA.
I'm a good driver. I look for cars. I pay attention. I should have seen the little girl in the crosswalk.
Please, look for pedestrians. Stop for them. Think of the impact you could make. A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
Good morning. This is Fingers, and welcome to Plugged In to Long Island on 102.3 WBAB and 106.1 WBLI. In the studio with me this morning is Don Gomo. You may have remembered him from last year. We had at the beginning of the motorcycle. He visited us once before. The American Iron Magazine is a very prominent magazine in the motorcycle community, and Don does the safety skills column. Indeed, he also started a quest, let's call it, a couple of years ago to make motorcycling more safety-oriented for not just the people that are around us that we're always pointing at, but for our own safety and for our own watching our own backyard. And congratulations to Don. He has gotten, finally, Empire State Motorcycle Safety Program, Inc., off and running, and membership started, I believe, a week ago.
Yes, March 30th.
So congratulations on that, man.
Thank you. Things are going good.
It's been a long road trying
to
get this done.
It's been a long road, and we're happy to get launched. And we're already doing seminars throughout the Long Island region.
Mm-hmm.
Our seminars are free. We're expressing information to motorcyclists to consider becoming more proficient of a rider through education.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the information that's out there indicates that we need it. As much as we say we got to watch out for the other guy, the statistics over the years have proved that nearly 75% of the crashes, motorcyclists are either fully or partially the fault of the crash,
mm-hmm.
which is scary.
And it's a hard number as a cyclist to look at, because we're so used to saying it's the other guy and they got to watch out for us. And of course, you know, when you're on two wheels, you want people to watch out for you when they're in a semi or in a car. But the reality is like you said, the numbers are pointing to the fact that we have more of a hand in it than we would like to admit, probably.
Absolutely. And it's tough for our ego to adjust that. It's a hard pill to swallow. But as a community, we really have to look at ourselves to reduce these numbers. You know, like everything else, if you want it done right, you got to do it yourself. If you want the numbers to drop, we got to do it ourselves and become more proficient with our skills as well as our knowledge. Experience is not the same as skills. People have been saying, oh, I got 10, 20, 30 years of riding experience. Well, that's good, but if you don't have the skills to back it up, your experience means nothing.
Right. You can have experience in a myriad of situations riding your bike. You only need that one time where that one experience that you have not had yet comes up, and if you're not sure what to do, it could be, quite honestly, be fatal.
Absolutely. Experience is pretty much the theory end of motorcycling.
I love to interrupt you just for
sure.
A second, I love the adage of practice makes perfect.
Oh, absolutely.
If you practice it wrong, it's perfectly wrong.
Perfectly wrong. And that's not good. That's why we encourage people to say, listen, all right, I could learn something. And you know what? If you go to a program and you take the education and you spend the 5 hours or whatever the course is, if you only learn one thing, and you did everything else proficiently, but you learned one thing that you never really did well before, that could save your butt out there.
Sure.
And that's important.
What was the driving force behind you wanting to create the Empire State Motorcycle Safety Program in the first place?
Well, in New York State, less than 1% of the licensed motorcycle operators actually go out and find some continuing education, do something to improve themselves. That's alarming.
Meaning that they get their license and then call it a day.
That's it. And okay. And the same thing falls into the people that are beginners that get their license. They're happy. They got their license. They start riding. And just because you can ride in a motorcycle or operate it doesn't mean you're safe. If you could go out for a ride and come home, doesn't mean you did it safe.
Right.
Learning to ride a motorcycle takes coordination, some muscle memory, some skills, sense of balance. But if the Russian circus could teach bears and chimps to ride a motorcycle, there's not a lot to it, you know?
Okay.
To do it proficiently is what saves us. We're vulnerable out there. We're just out in the open, two wheels.
Sure.
And just our whatever gear we're wearing to protect ourselves. Our biggest defense is our knowledge and skill level to avoid situations that are road, weather, other vehicles,
yeah,
everything
involved. Yeah, because even you could get into an accident that's unavoidable, but maybe save a body part or your life if you know how to go down or you know how to read the situation as it's occurring.
Sure. I mean, you hear conversations, you hear motorcyclists say, I had no choice but to lay the motorcycle down, which is French for I messed up, because unless you're a Hollywood stunt person or very well-trained motor officer, that's a very hard thing to do. And the logic of sliding the motorcycle on metal or possibly sliding the motorcycle on top of you, no control, doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So we want to get the education out there. We want to, they're not coming to the programs, so we're going to go to them and present the information. We'd like them to consider it. Our seminars have been 100% great response.
While we're on that point right now, how does somebody get involved to be participating and learn from what you're offering?
Well, we are a membership-based program. You could check out our website at motorcyclesafetyprogram.org. With a membership, it's $25 a year. With that, you get, we have over 60 sponsors on our site, regional, local, national, and a couple of international sponsors that are going to offer discounts to our members.
Okay.
You also get a $4,000 accidental life insurance policy. With that, we send out the information to you once you become a member, where we're doing our seminars, where we're doing pop-up locations, as well as updated information that we receive. There's plenty of sources out there that promote great information. So we've been combining that, and we use that to send that out to our membership as well.
Okay. Let's take a situation and maybe give a little bit of an education right here on the air. If you're just tuning in, it's 106.1 BLI and 102.3 WBAB. This is Plugged Into Long Island. We're with Don Gomo, who is a American Iron Motorcycle Magazine safety columnist, as well as the man behind Empire State Motorcycle Safety Program, and he's a New York State motorcycle safety rider coach. So you certainly have the credentials and the knowledge. So I put this to you. When you're in a situation where you're going to be making a panic stop or something like that, where let's just think that you're, you know, that's where the kickoff comes in your head that like, oh, I got to lay the bike down. What should the rider be alerting himself or looking for in a situation like that?
If you're in a situation where there's no avoidance, a car pulls out in front of you, as much as we try and tell you that you shouldn't put yourself in that situation, there are times you have no choice. Through the educational process and a little bit of experience as well as skills, don't look at the car. If we live with the logic that we go where we look, that's the last thing you want to look at is the car.
Interesting point.
So you want to see for an escape route, whether it's another lane, the sidewalk of the worst case scenario, somebody's front lawn, something that would, yeah, there might be damage or injury, but it may minimize as compared to hitting that vehicle. So you want to find an escape route. The one thing the MSF promotes is a strategy, which is the acronym C, which means search, evaluate, execute. You're searching. You're constantly scanning for situations. We're rolling. Situations are always changing, and you're evaluating. You're always playing that what if game.
Sure.
If the what if happens, that's where you execute, and you use, hopefully there is an escape through or a skill to back up to avoid it. You know, we teach skills in the MSF that do avoidance skills that relate to swerving, quick braking, lane adjustments. So every scenario is like a snowflake. No two are the same.
But that's a good point. Don't stare at the vehicle because you're probably going to go there.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a good point. It in my mind, and I'm sure many motorcyclists have been driven or riding, and you, I don't want to say fantasize, but you roll through your head, like, what if, you know, that guy just stopped, or you just had an almost situation, and now you're running the tape in your head after you get out of it. And my thought process is always like, if I had to put the bike down, do you hold on to the bike, or do you let go of the bike? And, you know, do you throw yourself from the bike? And, you know, now I'm thinking you should never let go of it.
Right. We don't want to lay it down. In the event that it does, that's a tough call. If you see these professional racers on the track, mm-hmm. when their bike goes, they separate from the bike and they slide.
Yeah, because inertia is going to take you with it if you hold on.
And that's just it. Do you want to be with a few hundred pound piece of metal moving even faster?
Filled with gas.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if there's a real correct answer to this. Mm-hmm. But you got to keep in mind, and this is a split second thing.
Sure.
And even the most skilled of riders would have a hard time with this. Mm-hmm. Like the track racers, they do this. They're actually experienced at it because they have these
finesse.
Right. But each one of them, you see them on videotapes or TV, they get up and they stand and they walk towards their bike like nothing happened.
Right. They're also wrapped in Kevlar.
Right. Well, that goes to show you about the protection gear. It's worth every penny of it. Mm-hmm. So if you're just riding in short sandals, T-shirts, the idea of sliding down the road is not favorable, no matter whether you're attached to the bike or not. So that's another thing to consider, what we're wearing to help protect us. So you have a situation where either you purposely, if you knew how, or you accidentally dropped the bike and it started to slide. Perhaps the best thing is not to hold on to it. You know, you want to separate yourself from any conflict.
Sure.
And there is a possibility that your path and the motorcycle's path may differ, so it could be to your advantage.
Right.
But like, again,
it's every situation is going to be different, and it is a split-second thing, so it's an unfair question at best.
I did my best with it.
You juggled around with it very well. You know, we get started motorcycling, you know, there's this, we want to go get our license and get the information that we need to go so we can pass the test and yay, I got my license and now all of a sudden we're running out. And then there's the guys like us that have been riding already for 20 so, you know, more years and have whatever thousands of miles under our belt. We're both in need of information.
Absolutely.
So let's take each one separately. The first guy, how can your organization help the new guy? And then let's talk about the seasoned rider.
Well, the new people, the people that are just entering motorcycling, for a majority of them, they are attending MSF programs to get their license. Yes, people still do just go take the DMV test, but a lot of people are taking that course, which is great.
It's a
good base. It teaches you the basic riding skills, and you have an opportunity to get your license through that. With that, the information that we present to license operators still affects them. We're talking about risk management. That's our program, is understanding risk management, knowing the risks out there and what we can do to manage it. We can't get rid of all the risk, but the more steps we take, whether it's education, informing ourselves, practicing, learning the right skills, whether it's a beginner or somebody that has been riding for a while and saying, I know how to ride, well, maybe there's a couple things you don't know. And that relates to both groups, the beginners or the advanced riders.
Right.
So it's a process. There's so much to learn. I've been riding motorcycles for over 40 years. I wish I could say I started at 1 year old, but that's not the case. But and before I got into education, I honestly thought I was a good rider. until I got into the education of motorcycling, and I realized there was so much I didn't know. Mm. And I keep learning. I just don't promote. I go to classes myself to learn new things or to refresh things. Like everybody else, I can develop a bad habit and not realize it. So I want somebody to point it out to me if I have. Or if I'm learning a new skill, I want somebody to teach me or tell me what I'm doing wrong so I can learn the skill properly.
Right, right.
And that's key. You could practice all you want by, yes, there's videos out there how you could ride slow and ride this and ride that, and you go in a parking lot and practice. But if there's nobody really there to tell you whether you're doing something right or wrong, how do you really know?
Right. Like I said before, practice makes perfect. If you're doing it wrong, it's perfectly wrong.
Absolutely.
I had my first experience with learning muscle memory came on Skyline Drive, riding through Virginia.
Beautiful area.
Oh, one of the most stupendous rides in the country. For just a chill, kind of enjoyable ride, you know, as opposed to the Dragon, which is a, a white knuckle ride.
Yes.
But the whole idea of becoming one with the bike and less steering of the bike and more leaning and pressure on either side of the handlebar, it became almost like this dance that I was doing with the bike. And it was such a natural, and it was a buzz. It was a real, you know, almost ephemeral kind of, you know, rise in, you know, adrenaline as you're riding it in a different way than, like, you know, when you're white knuckling it.
Right.
And it was, I just kind of let myself go and let my hands and my body realize the turn and where to pitch in and where to pitch out. And it was one of the most enjoyable rides that I had ever had. And when I got to the other end of it, I wasn't even 100% sure what I did.
Right. Yeah. But you know what the thing is? Motorcycling does take a lot of physical property, especially our upper body, you know, for controlling a bike. If you develop a bonding or bondness with your bike and you get that smoothness that you discussed and you get this flow happening, as much as we love motorcycling and we love to ride, I tell everybody, if you get yourself better proficient at your skills, you'll even love it more, which is hard to understand for some people, but you'll really get a kick out of what you're doing. And that smoothness comes with your skills and proficiency, and you become one with the bike. And with that, once you get better, you're actually using a little less muscle, so it's less tiring to you, so you're not fatiguing. If you're struggling through all these twisty turns, at the end of the road, you're like, wow, that's exhausting.
And you know, we were talking about gear and stuff before. One of the key elements, as far as I'm concerned for myself, is being comfortable on the bike. And that means how you're sitting, where your feet are, what you're wearing. If you're chilly and you're tensed up because you're cold, it's not fun riding.
And you're not paying attention to what you're doing. You're thinking about getting somewhere warm.
Right, right.
Yeah, motorcycle gear has advanced so much in the past decade. You could find gear for any kind of weather, any kind of riding you want. And that is a key, to be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You may look fantastic in those skin-tight leather pants, but if they're cramping you up,
Right.
You know, circulation loss and the uncomfortable feeling and everything else.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you know, like they say, it's not a fashion show.
Right. Listen, when you're going by at 30 to 60 miles an hour, they don't really see you.
Mm-hmm.
If you need to switch your clothes when you get off to look cool, do it.
And if you go down on your bike, nobody's going to care what you're wearing.
Oh, absolutely.
Unless you get up and pop up and go, oh, look, he was wearing Kevlar.
Right. The only person that cares is you.
The Empire Motorcycle Safety Education Program is a non-for-profit, so
Absolutely.
People are joining in with you in a camaraderie kind of way, as opposed to a business kind of way.
Right. We're a non-for-profit, and that's what we wanted to do. All the funds that we get through membership, through our sponsors, through grants, is going back into the program. The more members we have, the more we can do, the more seminars we can present, the more locations we can go at, the more clubs we can speak. That's the idea of this. You know, to do stuff for free costs money.
Sure.
Unfortunately. So we need a funding base, and that's why we developed the membership program. And we have a lot of members that find what we do is important. And like I said, we have over 60 sponsors. These are major corporations or dealerships that feel that this is a very important task that we're taking, because they have clients that ride motorcycles, and they see sometimes the bad side of motorcycling, which relates to crashes and accidents. So they get the idea of the education.
Right. If you're getting companies backing it with money, then it, you know, there's obviously some
right. They're very supportive. Granted, they see a possible advantage of a customer, but their main goal is, yeah, what you're doing is fantastic, and I think that's great.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you can make all the pretty paint and all the new doodads and advances in technology on the bikes and everything, but at the end of the day, it really comes down to a person on the outside looking in want to know how safe it is, because right. that's the biggest fear. I talk to friends that, oh, I'd love to ride, but my wife won't let me because it's too scary, or I don't want to die on a bike, or, you know. And certainly, you know, when you buy a bike and you open up the manual, the first thing it says, may cause injury or death.
Yes.
Every other page. But, you know, that's part of the visceral involvement of riding a motorcycle, is the fact that you're on a bike, and that freedom that you get from the bike comes with a consequence, that you're open to, right. you know, get
hurt. And what we want to do is inform everybody that we have means and methods to actually reduce those risks.
Mm-hmm.
A motorcycle is a machine. It works by your input. If it's bad input, you'll have bad output.
That's right.
All right? It does what we tell it to do. Are there going to be situations like we discussed before that we have no control? Yes, there's always that odds and that risk. But the more we understand and be better at those inputs, the better it is for us.
Sure. If you're just tuning in, it's 102.3 WBAB and 106.1 BLI. Plugged into Long Island, my name is Fingers. I'm with Don Gomo. He is the president of Empire State Motorcycle Safety Program, Inc., as well as a columnist for American Iron Magazine. He does the safety skills column, and he's a New York State motorcycle safety rider coach. You can get more information at gomotorcycling.org. And you can also go to motorcyclesafetyprogram.org to sign up. And the $25, and we just went over the fact that it's a non-for-profit, but the $25 that the person uses to join in, what do they get in exchange for that?
What they get in exchange, first of all, the $25 is a tax-deductible thing, so they
and
get
it's a
that.
Year. So.
Yeah, and it's for a year.
It's cheaper than hog.
Yes, it's cheaper than most organizations out there. And I was told by another publisher that it might be one of the best motorcycle deals out there. For $25, you become a member. There's a membership packet that you get. You get, of course, a patch with our logo. But like I've been saying, we have over 60 sponsors. Most of them are offering discounts of 10 to 15% off products or services they sell.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just little rinky-dink outfits. We have major dealership, major corporations
coming
on board.
That's the window dressing. What's
right.
the meat that you get?
The meat that they get is, A, they're supporting a great program.
Mm-hmm.
We're going out there and helping our own community. That's what we want, is people that really feel that, you know, education to the community is great. Nobody's been doing this. There are programs in the state, but nobody really promotes them, or there's a lot of people that aren't even aware of what they do. And they recognize that this is a key thing, you know. Sure, we give you some benefits, you get life insurance and everything with it, but you're helping support.
That's a good thing, the life insurance. And then there's the seminars as
and
well.
The seminars. And, you know, it's we're an outreach educational program. There are other organizations that we think are doing great jobs, like Long Island Abate. They're a motorcycle rights organization, and they do a fantastic job of what they do. And we tell people that you should be part of them, too, because they help protect our rights.
Sure. Yeah, the guys over there, and that's for those that don't know, Abate is American Bikers Aimed Toward Education.
Right.
And there's a Long Island chapter. Jim Barr is the president, and they run a great ship over there. And, yeah, in tandem with what you're doing, that's a good thing
so,
to have.
So, you know, they do the rights, and as much as we believe in that, that's not what we're about, and we're not really set up for that. It's the education.
Mm-hmm. More like a cross between Abate and AMA.
Right. We're kind of filling a void. There's nobody out there presenting this information,
mm-hmm.
and we felt that it's important, and we're finding out a lot of other people think so, too.
Do you have a seminar scheduled that people could come to investigate and press flesh and say what, how to, maybe I can join in, or outside of going on the web at this stage of the game, or is it nothing scheduled yet?
Yeah, we have a couple. If you go to our website, we have a calendar and events page.
Okay.
We have one coming up in Port Jefferson. At the Time to Play Foundation, they're hosting us. We have one coming up in April at the Hap Hog Library.
Okay.
We have one coming up in May at the North Babylon Library. So those are the three that we have right now. We're in discussions of getting others scheduled as well.
And you can find that out by going to motorcyclesafetyprogram.org.
Correct.
Okay. If you're just tuning in, Fingers with you this morning. It's 102.3 WBAB and 106.1 BLI. Plugged into Long Island with Don Gomo. He is the president of the Empire State Motorcycle Safety Program, he tried to say. American Iron Magazine Safety Skills Columnist. And the New York State Motorcycle Safety Rider Coach. And has his own website, gomotorcycling.org. But for the information on the Empire State Motorcycle Safety Education Program, which is a nonprofit that you can join for $25 a year and get training and information and other benefits, go to www.motorcyclesafetyprogram.org. In closing, I just want to say about the what do you think about riding with all this sand and motorcycle pothole
well,
season
it's
that we're going
we've had a tough winter.
I mean, we lost a gentleman out in Riverhead recently, and there's just too much stuff on the road. I mean,
it's like a lunar crater out there. It's terrible. We've had a long winter. The things we have to consider is because of the long winter, a lot of us have not been riding, so our skills diminish. This is a sport. If you're not using it, you're losing it. So our skills have diminished. We got to keep that in mind. We may not have been as sharp as when we put that motorcycle away at the end of the year. These potholes out here, some of them can swallow up a bike. And as much as we complain, the towns, the counties, they're doing what they can. Now they're patching. We got to give those guys a break. They're out on the roads in the middle of traffic. Stay away from them. Don't be mad that they're holding up traffic. They're actually trying to repair this.
Yeah, let's you got to give them a chance to fix it.
But when you're riding, this is a key thing with the awareness, with that searching. Constantly scan. You should look ahead. And if you're behind a large vehicle, keep your distance, because all of a sudden that large vehicle passes a big hole and you may not be able to get around it because you don't have enough time. Mm. Give yourself extra time and space. Perhaps slow your speed down a little bit. Stay away from some of the really, really back roads, because those are the ones that are going to get the attention last.
Right, right.
So, I mean, there's things we can do. It's not fun. Sand is not really a super issue unless you're trying to brake incorrectly on it or you're turning at a high rate of speed on it. Mm-hmm. Then it is an issue.
Sure.
But, yeah, it's a tough season, but it's getting better out there.
Don, I want to thank you very much for coming in with us and spending some time on BAB and BLI for Plugged Into Long Island. For those of you who want to check out Don's website, it's motorcyclesafetyprogram.org. This is Plugged Into Long Island. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. It's Fingers saying, have a good day.